So I think it's okay to say trust is a choice, not a feeling.
Right.
And yes, we are all choosing to trust during this whole thing, but that doesn't mean that our emotions aren't going to be what they are,
yeah.
You know, and that God can handle those.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends, we are coming to you from our homes where we are staying safe and well, and we hope you are too. So we are doing a little series that we are calling Conversations from Home, and we are focusing on book excerpts because, as you know, books are a little tricky to get right now, and we want to make sure that we keep bringing you encouragement. We've also, as authors, just been thinking back on some past lessons that are helping us through the current challenges. And so we wanted to share those with you as well. So this week, we are going to hear from Susie about her book, Come With Me. She has an excerpt picked out for you to share and also some thoughts. So Suze, how about you get us started?
See, normally you're not going to see this transition, but I can't see that unless I have these. So this is from my book, Come With Me, Discovering the Beauty of Following Where He Leads, Chapter 9, The Fallacy of a Storm-Free Life. Sometimes we lie to people who are new to faith. Our heart is in the right place as we say something like, just kneel or say these words after me and your life will be wonderful. They kneel and they repeat the prayer and they do feel better, so it must be true. Then they go home and they slap right into the wall of real life. Maybe loved ones don't understand their faith in Jesus, or the battle that raged yesterday is still brewing. Unexpected circumstances blow up and they wonder, aren't things supposed to be wonderful? And I shared this excerpt because the reality is that we all have storms that come in our life. And I think the difference between having a storm blow up and you don't know Christ, and a storm blow up, is that he's in the boat with you. That's the difference to me, is I'm not alone in that storm. And not only that, I come out on the other side having learned from him who I am and who he is in the midst of that storm. So that leads to our confession question today. How has a storm in your life made you stronger?
I immediately thought of my wrestle with seasonal depression. That is something that I wanted to go away. And I feel like every year that I've acknowledged it and worked with it, I've learned more and more. So now it's not, of course, I would love for it to go away. So I feel like the real story is me learning how to persevere through the hard seasons and plan for it. And then to realize that this is just a temporary thing that I'm facing for the moment, but it's made me so much stronger in the way that I see God, the way that I see other people's pain. I can recognize when someone else is going through either postpartum depression or anxiety. I can see other people's struggles in a way that if I'm in a close relationship with them, I can talk to them about it. I can share openly and honestly. So for me, it's been one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced, but it's also been the most beautiful thing because I know that I can make it through, and I'm offering out hope that in my personal storms of, you know, filling that surface, sometimes it's very light. In the wintertime, sometimes it's horrible, but by experiencing this, it's helped me to see that God's with me, that he's got this, and this is going to be a storm that passes. And if I just hang on and cling to him, that I'm going to be okay and I can hold out hope for others.
Yeah. Well, I think that's powerful because what I hear you saying is that, you know, we all wish that we didn't have that storm. And I would wish that for you more than anything, Jennifer, that you didn't have to deal with seasonal depression. And yet what it sounds like you're saying is it hasn't been taken from you. That storm is still there, but it's allowed you every year to come out of there saying, I recognize others who are in the same storm and I'm going to walk with them too. Is that what you're saying? Part of what you're saying?
There's so much strength in numbers. So I think that at the beginning, and I don't know if it was like that for you, Holly, but you try to hide it. You try to fake it and act like it's not there. And so now I'm so open and honest about it that I can say, hey, I'm struggling. Or I can send that text to Holly and say, I'm struggling right now. And this feels really big to me. And that she understands something that Holly has said before, that our struggles are our superpowers. And I have seen that happen with me in seasonal depression, because it just means that I feel deeply, and I would rather feel things than go numb. And so for me, it's been a blessing of learning that I'm going to be okay. And of course, I don't like it at all. I wish it could go away. But I don't think that I'd be the person that I am, love people the way that I do, and love Jesus the way that I do if I didn't have this kind of struggle.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So a story that came to mind, it's storm related, and then I'll share about a storm that's made me better. But back in college, when Mark and I were very first dating, I went to class, and this was pre-cell phone, all the things, which is hardly imaginable now, but this huge storm blew in while I was in class, and I didn't have an umbrella, and I thought, great, I'm going to have to walk home in the rain, and I came outside of the classroom, and there was Mark with an umbrella waiting for me, and he had come for me in the storm. And I thought about that because I think that's what God does for us. You know, he's like, yes, there are going to be storms, but I'm here and I've got you. And since then, Mark and I have walked through a lot of storms. Some I've discussed on the show, like a decade of infertility and also anxiety and depression. And I think what can be hard about, especially storms like infertility, is they're unexpected and you don't know when they're going to end. And I've been thinking about what we're going through as humanity right now with COVID-19, you know, that it's unexpected and we don't know when it's going to end. And I think that makes it harder. And for me, I have not handled this as well as I had hoped. You know, you read those books about like World War II and everyone's hunkered down and being heroes. And like, you know, you always think, I'm going to be that person who's like going to have it all together and I'm going to rise to the occasion and be brave and strong all the time. And no, I've eaten way too much ice cream. I've snapped at my husband about not covering his mouth when he coughs more than once. I have cried for things that I would not normally cry about. Yeah, I've had not some of my proudest moments. And so I think just saying that out loud too, you know, saying handling a storm well doesn't mean that we don't feel all the things or that we are our best selves through the whole thing. At least I hope not, because I'm not there. I'm still, even this morning, I was like, I'm struggling. And I didn't expect to struggle with this because I'm an introvert. You know, I don't usually mind time alone. I love my people. But yeah, I think storms sometimes catch us by surprise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you feel like, and this is, I'm asking because I feel like this is where I'm at, that part of that is that every sense of control has been taken from us. Like, I work from home, so I'm used to being at home, but I can't go outside my doors without measuring that, without thinking about it. And so now everything seems like a really big choice to me. Like going to the grocery store, I weigh, you know, how are we going to have it delivered? Are we going to, and this feel like such first world problems even as I say them. And yet the heart of it is, Holly, for me, is that I feel like all my choices have been taken from me, and I struggle with that.
Yeah, and a lot of the things I do for support, you know, like I go meet up with one of y'all for coffee and talk it through, and then I feel better and go back home, you know?
Yeah.
That's harder right now. Or, you know, there is that tendency to compare, to be like, you know, oh, so many people have it so much worse than I do right now, so I'm not mm-hmm. allowed to feel what I feel. And that's what I kind of had to come to terms with this morning, is just be like, okay, acknowledging my emotions about this does not diminish the validity of everyone else's. You know, like, I'm not taking something from someone by saying, you know what, I'm human too. This gets to be hard for me also.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's something when I think about, especially my storm of infertility, that I did feel like made me better. A lot of what it taught me was that it was okay to not be okay. Yeah. I wrote my very first devotional actually about it, called Rain on Me. And that's the title of the first chapter, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And it was in my early 20s. And up until that point, I did think I had control over my whole life. You know, I was like, this is when we're having a baby and blah, blah, blah. And you plan everything out and it works out. And that time it didn't, over and over again.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think that is one way that that storm helped me become better, was just being able to say, it's okay that I'm not okay, which is why I can do it on this call today. To be like, you know what? Not totally okay. I will be. I have a lot of moments when I am, but it's all right that there are some when I'm just not. So
yeah. I think that storms also have the power to kind of teach us, you know. I remember, you know, the story of Jesus and the men in the boat, and they're terrified. And most of these are fishermen. So if they're terrified, this is really scary. And I love that Jesus in that moment didn't like berate them. He did say, where's your faith? You know, he's centering them. He's drawing them to himself in the midst of that, saying, okay, where's your faith, guys? Come here. I'm right here. Yeah. But what he taught them in the midst of that is, though they were fishermen and knew all the elements, in that moment, what they needed more than anything was to place their trust in him. And I'm trying to remember that, Holly, because I think we're all going through this landslide of emotions. And you hit it so on the head when you said you start to feel bad about something and you're like, no, there are people who have it worse. And there are. And yet it's okay to say, I miss hugging my people, you know, I don't want to see them at a distance and not be able to touch them. Or I miss my elderly mom and dad who I love with my whole heart. We've been FaceTiming and it's hilarious. My mom is learning Spanish right now. That's what she's decided to do during this time. And it just makes me love her so much. But I can't touch them. I can't cross the border to go to them. And it's breaking my heart. And so I'm trying in the midst of this particular storm to say, how can I trust you and see you above this storm? How can I just attune to you, Lord? And it's not always easy.
You know, and I think sometimes like what it's time. Most of the Psalms are laments or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of trusting too, is, you know, I can say I trust Jesus, but there are moments when I absolutely do not feel that. Yeah. And I get mad when I feel like I should, yeah. You know,
should.
That's not how we work as humans. Just because we say with faith, I trust Jesus, doesn't mean our emotions change in that moment. Yeah. You know, and so I think it's okay to say trust is a choice, not a feeling.
Right.
And yes, we are all choosing to trust during this whole thing, but that doesn't mean that our emotions aren't going to be what they are,
yeah.
You know, and that God can handle those. Like if he can handle David and the Psalms being like, where the heck are you and what are you doing?
Yeah.
When am I going to get to leave the house again? You know, he can handle whatever we're experiencing, I think, in any given moment too.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about like what's going to help us right now in our personal storms. And I was thinking about while you were talking, the man who's talking to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I think that we can hang in the balance of belief and unbelief. God, I know you've got this. And wait, do you really have this? You know, those kinds of things. And I think as believers, we think that we just have to be on the believing, you know, 100% certain, sure of our faith. But that's just not what I've seen in scripture. Mm-mm. It almost gives us permission to kind of settle in and say, it's not that we are doubting God, but we're doubting the situation. We're doubting the circumstance. None of us have been through this. So I think it's okay that we're not okay, but it's also okay that I don't know what's coming next. Yeah. But for someone who is a mom and likes to be in charge and know what's coming next, this is hard. This is where I am faltering in that I have no clue. I don't, like, you don't know what to do. Yeah. So I think that's okay.
Yeah, even the grown-ups don't know what to do right now, which is disconcerting. Like, I can't go read a book about this. I would normally like go read a book about how to handle a worldwide pandemic successfully and with joy. Book.
When we started recording, I was showing Jennifer my mask. Like, this is my mask. I have a mask. And I now have a mask that I put on. And if I hear the heart of all of this, it is, we are not in control in a storm. We're just not. And that is so tough. And yet, learning where to turn and who to trust and giving ourselves permission to say, this is so hard. You know, I'm going to have surgery. I'm still in, you know, the whole breast cancer journey. And I learned that I might have surgery. I might not. It might happen. It might, you know, and again, I'm just like, I just want a date. But then these words were, but just so you know, you're going to be dropped off. You'll have the surgery. Nobody can be with you before or after. And you're going to be completely by yourself. And then when you're better, we'll take you to the door and we'll put you in the car and you can go home. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be alone in a really big surgery. And it just hit so hard. And again, I know, because this is where my mind goes, Holly. There are people alone right now that are in such dire places. And I know that. But I had to think, okay, I can do this. I can, because I'm not going to be alone. Truly, I'm not going to be alone. My husband may be standing outside the door listening, you know, at the surgery center. But I am going to have the Lord with me. I am. I won't be alone. But I really want a person with skin on to be there. You know, it's just crazy.
That's not crazy. It would be crazy if you didn't want
that. Our lives are crazy.
Our lives are crazy.
So I guess for me, you know, what can help is just knowing that it is, our circumstances right now are crazy. And it's okay to say that. And it's okay to say it's unknown and this is new to me. And I've been alive for a really long time. And I don't understand any of this, but I do know God. I do know God. And that's where I'm going to have to put my focus. He's in the boat with me.
Right.
And I think this has made me just, you know, reflect on this morning. I was thinking how a lot of times I go through my normal life saying, I have to, you know, I have to go to this meeting, or I have to meet this deadline, or I have to, you know, take care of everything and everyone, whatever it is that I think I have to do. And this morning I was like, no, I get to, you know, I get to write. I get to do things like this podcast. I get to love on the people that I love. I get to. And so what I can see on the other side of this is an appreciation for things that I take for granted, you know?
Yeah.
That I think that the negative emotions we've been talking about are real, but I think in the midst of this, I'm also experiencing positive emotions that are just as real, like gratitude, you know, and moments of contentment and peace and being able to rest in grace and know that no matter what, it's going to be okay. And you know, so it's not like our emotions are one-sided, or even some moments of happiness and silliness with my husband and doing that without guilt, you know, even with all that's going on, to say, yeah, it's all right now if we, you know, just turn up the music and make dinner and open the windows and like take a deep breath and forget all this is going on for 5 minutes, you know? So what helps me is remembering to not get stuck in either, like not get stuck saying I can only experience positive emotions, but not get stuck in saying, okay, I'm trapped in the negative ones, that we need to call on the full range of emotion that God has given us to process life. And I think we need all of them right now, you know?
Well, I started this by reading the paragraph from Come With Me, and the fallacy of a storm-free life is is telling someone, well, everything is going to be magical now. The reality is that knowing Christ changes us forever. It absolutely does. It is the most beautiful step we can take. But it doesn't change the fact that there are going to be storms, because we're alive and we live on this earth, and things are going to happen, sometimes to us, sometimes because of us, that we have to repair. And the reality is that we're not alone in that, that he is in that boat with us, that he sees the storm. But more than that is that on the other side of that storm, and I think you just said this, Holly, is that he shows us some things we might not have seen except for that storm.
Right.
Yeah. I remember after I went through it, it felt like a long, long rainy season in my life through all that infertility. And I was becoming more at peace with it. But we went to visit my aunt who lives on Bainbridge Island, Green Aunt, which is a little island across from Seattle, and you have to take a ferry to it. And I got there and I was like, this place feels like magic. Like, it's nothing but gardens everywhere, flowers everywhere. And all I knew about Seattle and that area was that it rained all the time. That's all I'd ever pictured, was the rain. And I got there and I thought, and well, I felt like God whispered to my heart, guess what happens from rain? All these flowers, like all this growth, all this beauty, like all these things would not be here without the rain. And I think that's the paradox we live in. You know, it's like, we don't want the rain, and yet there's so many flowers in our lives that we wouldn't have without it, you know? And that gives me hope, because I feel like that's the redemption in it, you know, that God is a redeemer, that we can trust that whatever is hard or uncomfortable or unwanted in our lives or confusing or scary, he's not going to let us walk away empty-handed. You know, we're going to walk away with some kind of bouquet.
You know, someone said on our Facebook page, the More Than Small Talk Facebook page, the other day, in one of your next episodes, would you end with prayer? Because we really need prayer right now. And I feel that so strong. It's that, as we're saying this about roses, and because it's so true, because when you walk with the Lord, you learn that. That's what you learn. But when you're in the midst of the storm and it is blowing and it's scary, like, it's hard sometimes to feel that. So I wonder if any of us might just feel like praying for that woman who's out there right now, and she is feeling the rain and the squall and the boat is rocking. I just wonder if we could pray for her. Anybody?
I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are not surprised by what we are feeling right now, and you're certainly not surprised by what we are facing right now in our world. None of us know what's coming next, but God, we know that you do. We know that you are in this storm. You are in this boat with us. So God, I just pray that we would lean in to trust you more, that we would be free to know that it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay for us to not know what's next. But Lord, we trust you. Never have you failed me. Never have you left me stranded. So God, I trust you to do that for our sweet sisters listening today, that you are not surprised and you will not leave them. You are not forsake them, that they are not stranded and alone without your help. And they have a direct line to you, Jesus. So I just pray that more than anything, that we would just lean in and grow closer to you in this time of just really big, scary questions. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen.
So what's next? What's coming up next, Jennifer?
Next week is unexpectedly fierce hearted. So I think that that's going to be a really good thing for us to talk about right now.
Okay. And the resource that we have for you, I fell in love with Jesus all over again writing this book, because I lived it first. I lived in the book of Luke for actually a couple of years, just rediscovering who he was and how to live my faith in a way that was linked to a relationship rather than anything else. So come with me discovering the beauty of following where he leads. We love you guys. We're so thankful you let us come from our living rooms into your living rooms all over the world. We are grateful for you.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.